WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Are there any voters left to persuade 17 days out from Election Day? ABC's Mary Alice Park says that at least one campaign believes yes.
The Harris campaign really thinks that there's more of those moderate Republicans who do not want to vote for Trump that she can still reach. I've talked to a lot of Democratic activists that worry that she's leaving Democratic base voters on the table, specifically around the war in Gaza.
Both Vice President Harris and former President Trump were in Michigan Friday. Harris has another event in Detroit today. She'll be in Atlanta later. Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The union representing more than 33,000 striking Boeing machinists says Boeing's made a new contract proposal it believes is worth considering. The acting Secretary of Labor's been in Seattle trying to help end the strike. Hezbollah launched three drones towards Israel, one of them targeting the home of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He and his wife were not home at the time. This is ABC News. House Democrats are accusing former President Donald Trump and his family of bilking the Secret Service at the D.C. hotel he once owned. They say they charged the agency more than three times the standard per diem rate. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The report says Qatari royalty and a Chinese coal company paid far less than the Secret Service on the same nights. Democrats allege the arrangement violated the Constitution's bar on presidents taking emoluments or payments from the government other than their salaries.
Richard Allen's murder trial continues today in Delphi, Indiana. He's the man charged with killing two teenage girls 7 years ago while they were hiking. ABC's Ike Ejachi has more.
The defense telling the jury they believe the girls were killed somewhere else and their bodies were returned to the crime scene. Meanwhile, the proceedings will continue with the judge sequestering the jury for what could be a month-long trial, giving them only Sundays off. Allen is charged with two counts of murder, among other charges.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Is your computer so slow you can hardly use it? Does it have blue screens, malware, viruses, reboots, hardware crashes? Sound familiar? Computers will have problems, and when they do, you need the computer experts at Madison Computer Works. Every day, we help home users and businesses keep their computers and networks running smoothly. For solutions to your computer problems, call the pros at 231-8000, and we'll turn this into this. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com. This is Gordy with John and Gordy in the morning on 92.7 WMDX. When you text into our show or any WMDX program, know that our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial. Package with less. Visit rocketindustrial.com and we'll be watching out for your text.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Exchanges got heated at times during Friday night's U.S. Senate debate. Republican challenger Eric Hovde faced Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin. Hovde says Baldwin and her partner should be more forthcoming about their finances and how that affects her votes.
They don't disclose those investments and how much they're profiting from it. That's fundamentally wrong, and you should disclose what investments your partner is making.
Baldwin fired back.
Eric Hovde should stay out of my personal life, and I think I speak for most Wisconsin women that he should stay out of all of our personal lives.
The race has tightened, and the outcome in Wisconsin could determine the balance of power in the entire U.S. Senate. Donald Trump has claimed he was exonerated in his classified documents case. Here's Tricia Young with a Wisconsin Watch fact check.
Trump falsely claimed in October 2024 that he was, quote, exonerated, unquote, in the case involving classified documents he kept after leaving office. Trump was indicted on charges of mishandling classified documents, including those related to nuclear capabilities. In July 2024, Florida federal judge Eileen Cannon dismissed the charges, citing issues with the special counsel's appointment, but did not rule on the case's merits. Prosecutors appealed the dismissal, and no trial date has been set yet. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, clear 48, sunshine, highs near 80 degrees on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine, 77. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 71. Slight chance of a shower Wednesday with a high of 58.
Currently, 56 degrees.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll
all
do
right,
the same
y'all.
Thing for you.
Y'all are tuned in to the Black Don't Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. Luke, you can continue to play my song just for a second. Just for a second, because I've just been grooving. I know it's like a slow entry, but this week has been one of, I would just say, I don't know, it's just been trying. So when my life is trying, I often go to gospel music, and this has been my song. So just enjoy it for a second. Okay, this is Civic Media. They're like, this is not a religion gospel channel. So, okay, Luke, we can stop it. Lucas, and they're like, what the hell is this? And why are we doing this? But it's all good. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. This is Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. I'm excited to be in studio today. I am alone. My co-host, Cousin Clyde, I don't know where he is. Probably sleep somewhere, saying that he missed his alarm and it didn't go off. April Kagea, she said she could not make it because TDS needed to come to her house. You see how their priorities are? This is why. You just got to be prepared to go solo dolo on whatever you do in the world. You can't really wait on folks. So anyway, today I want to start with in the news. When I'm with my co-hosts, we usually start with a conversation of love and relationships, and I will be getting to that because boy, has this week been something to consider as it relates to love and relationships. But this week, I want to start with in the news. And let's start with our Southside School in Madison, Wisconsin. In the news, we have Principal Candace Terrell and Assistant Principal Annabelle Torres has been removed from positions at Madison Metropolitan Southside School. It's Southside Elementary. That's the name of the school. And it comes after months of parents submitting complaints in a district investigation. In the news, they say that the children were being bullied by the principals, the primary principal and the assistant principal. And I believe it's Shorter Amos, first name Andrea Amos, filed a complaint with along with 66 other parents who signed the complaint. It's an 18-page complaint submitted to the school district alleging Terrell and Torres created a chaotic, unsafe, and untenable environment, according to Channel 3000. Now, as you guys know, like it is extremely difficult nowadays to be a teacher, a principal, whoever, and it's also extremely difficult for parents to advocate for their kids. I feel like at Madison School District and a lot of school districts, if you want something done for your kids, you have to spend 10 or 15 hours a week advocating because folks usually just stop listening and stop caring, or there's not a lot of I don't know, it's just not a lot of response by administrators and school districts. I don't even know how else to explain it. And of course, there's folks that's saying that the parents are wrong, and then some folks are saying the school is wrong for removing them. I don't know the details. The news story actually doesn't give you the details. It actually doesn't even tell you what the complaint was about or why they were removed. But I know that if parents are organizing and putting their efforts in, it must be pretty statuated, you know. I didn't say that word right. Luke, how do I say that word?
Extenuated?
Extenuating? Whatever.
Extenuating circumstances?
Yeah.
Like that?
I don't know. Whatever. Y'all know what I mean.
Yeah. We get it. We pick up what you're putting
down. Yeah. Whatever. So because the way I see it is something must be true because, you know, MTI, which is the union for teachers, it's pretty hard to remove teachers from schools unless there's evidence of foul play. And even in our school district, when children are physically harmed by restraints or that one situation where the 11-year-old girl hair was pulled from her scalp, that teacher and that administrator was never removed and they were never reprimanded. For some reason, it's okay to physically harm children. but I don't know what this complaint is about. I've heard in the street that is really predicated on the principal and the assistant principal being seen as bullies and creating a chaotic school environment for the children. And some parents have even stated that because it was so extremely foul and negative and toxic that their children regressed in their education and academics, meaning that they started the school year coming from a different school, reading at a level four, you know, grade 4 or 5, and they're in third grade, and then they didn't make any progress, and some even are doing worse in their assessments and in their behavior in school. And I think too, from my personal perspective, is two, people don't realize the importance of the social and emotional environment of schools. We like to focus on academics and assessments and tests. And as you may know, and again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. As you may know, my son, who's 8, went to Wingra private school off of Monroe Street, and he suffered so bad. That environment emotionally and socially was terrible for him. And he regressed. He became aggressive. He became physical in school. And then his entire experience became about managing his behavior, which was a result of the environment. And now he's at One City and he is happy. He's flourishing. He doesn't have any behavior issues. So that's how I know it's the environment. So I'm assuming that's what was up at the Southside School as well. In other news, we have 7-Elevens closing across the country. 444 stores are closing. That is crazy. That's a lot of stores closing. I can't even imagine what's up with like the staff. Like, what does that do? And I don't know if you guys are aware, but 7-Eleven is it's held by some Japanese-based parent company. And it revealed its earnings a couple weeks ago, I think last week, that they're shutting down the 444 stores for a variety of issues relating to slowing of sales, declining of traffic, decrease in cigarette purchases. I thought that was interesting. Like, dang, okay, now folks are actually trying to get healthy and that this store profit margin was based on cigarette sales. So shout out to the people who are quitting smoking and taking care of their health, which caused this domino effect. And yeah, it's probably a whole bunch of stuff, but 404 stores are closing across the country. I'm not sure if that's is going to affect you locally at all. I think we have a 7-Eleven on Regent Street, but I don't really see many other 7-Elevens. And other more exciting news, R. Kelly's daughter, Buruku, I think that's how you say her name, Buku, Abby, she is the daughter of R. Kelly, and she has speaking out publicly against R. Kelly, claiming that R. Kelly has been was sexually abusive to her and that she had not felt safe disclosing that prior to. And of course, on social media, there's a divide, right? People are saying she's just saying that to get money or she's just saying that for A, B, and C. But what strikes me about people when it comes to R. Kelly and other Black men who are predators and pedophiles who just happen to be good at something, whether it's football or making music or just good at being a liar. We like to compare folks who are, found guilty of pedophilia and sexual harassment and just terrible things to white men. So we like to say, well, they didn't do that to Hugh Hefner. They didn't do that to this white dude, that they didn't do that to that white dude. And that often confuses me. So we live in a country in a context of white supremacy where the justice system is really predicated on people known as Black, meaning that if you pay attention to the numbers, especially in a Dane County area, which we all live, if you pay attention to the numbers, Black people are arrested at a higher rate rate based on our population per capita, right? And white folks in our area commit more crimes than black people because of the population and all that good stuff, right? But they're arrested less. So just by that framework and knowing this, why would we think that we should, that it's okay to compare the arrest of someone who's committing something horrific to a white person? Like, there's a couple of things that don't work. One, the justice system isn't really set up for that. Two, why would we think that someone who's harming specifically black women, black children, and black people who just happen to be black should not have to, I don't know, be held accountable or have consequences? I just wish we changed the conversation to white people need to be held accountable as well versus why, you know, black people shouldn't be held accountable because white people aren't. That's to me is a little backwards. So I just wanted to say that, like, and when women speak and women who have endured domestic violence or rape or sexual assault or anything, I think we should practice believing them until we have a reason not to believe them, because we live in an environment, in a context, in a society that is rooted in rape culture. Luke, what's your thoughts about that? Do you have any thoughts about our environment, our society being rooted in rape culture? And what does that mean to you?
I think there was a very large reckoning with how deeply rooted it was, mm-hmm. With the Me Too movement that's mm-hmm. begun, what, six, seven years ago now?
Yeah.
And so I think it's a lot more prevalent. It was happening for a very long time that I think it went unspoken.
Yeah.
In a lot of circles, people just didn't want to talk about it. And I think Me Too changed the dynamic and a little bit around the narrative for that, too. But accountability is important regardless of who's committing the atrocities. So I think everybody needs to be held accountable for their actions and justifying somebody's misdoings by saying, well, somebody else didn't get held accountable for theirs. Mm-hmm. To me, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense either. It doesn't compute in my head. And it doesn't make sense that, I mean, it makes sense that we don't protect women because of our patriarchy, misogyny-rooted society. But it doesn't make sense to me. Like, it doesn't make sense that we don't protect women and we don't protect little girls and we don't support people and encourage them to come forward. And we're not providing safe spaces for that and versus judgment. And I know the internet can be pretty ruthless and people are coming from their own traumas and what have you. But I just sometimes I wonder about us. You know, I try to like maintain my positive understanding of humanness and humanity, but sometimes I can't help but to wonder about us.
The hard part too is some people are like, oh, well, you should, because that person's somebody's daughter or that's somebody's mother. And it's like, no, you should just care about you should care because they are, as you said, a human. They're a person.
Human. Yeah.
It shouldn't be their relation to somebody else mm-hmm. that then all of a sudden gets you to have empathy or to care about or give a damn. It's definitely something that needs to be talked about more because there's still a lot of work to do on that ground.
So much work to do. And then I get back to like, what are we gonna do? How do we get people to think, care, and center the humanity of others? How do we get people to care and center the humanity of themselves? I think that's the work that I've been attempting to do through Urban Triage, which I'm the founder and CEO of. If you don't know, now you know. But I have so much more news to provide. Did you guys know that Trump spoke at the Black Conservative Federation? And wait till you hear what this man has said. And did you hear about Kamala Harris' opportunity agenda for Black men? Hear more when we get back on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Stay tuned.
You know what, y'all? I got another witness. Come here, DJ Rogers.
Wondering why I did not die. I'll be happy to tell you why.
God favors me.
No longer do I cry when fake friends say goodbye.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, is back on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. And prior to our break, we were just talking about local news and in the news and national news and from principals being removed from schools in Madison to 444 7-Elevens closing to all kind of stuff. is what we were talking about. But what I also want to talk about is my girl, Vice President Kamala Harris. She is my new hero. And no, I don't agree with everything she says, but I do agree with her being a woman because I'm a woman. And let's not even talk about her darkness, okay? But she has rolled out an opportunity agenda and for Black men specifically. And I think before I share what these opportunity agenda items are, I think it's crazy that she even has to target Black men. And the reason she has to target Black men, because Black men, generally speaking, not all, but it is showing in the data that they're actually more leaning towards Trump. I just can't believe it sometimes. It's like Black men are leaning towards Trump because they're saying things like Trump gave us a bailout for COVID. Trump gave us PPP loans. Trump, invested in historical Black colleges and gave millions of dollars. Trump did this. And I'd be thinking like, do you not know who Trump is? If Trump gives any money to anybody, it is a business move. Okay. It's not because he cares. It's not because he's like, hey, Black man, I want to make sure you're good and taken care of. Hey, Black people, come on over here because I see your struggle. And I know that it is my responsibility to push agenda items and legislation that supports you. And I need to change laws. Instead, Trump says, you know what we need to do? We need to give police full immunity. And we need to protect police. So when they shoot you, Black man, and murder you in the street, there would not be any protest. Even if it is, who cares? Because it will be full immunity, right or wrong, right? Like, come on. Okay. So you don't see Kamala releasing an opportunity agenda for Black women. You don't even see her doing it for brown people, because whether or not we know it or not, we actually get it. We get what we need to do. And as always, Black women will show up and show out, as we often do for most Democrats and for everything that happens in our country. It's mostly led by Black women in the background, helping folks construct innovative approaches, saying, hey, you probably should think about this. Hey, you should probably think about that, which is often why I say to people, you should trust Black women. And why you should trust Black women is because Black women are often at the bottom of the totem pole, having to figure out how to pull up our bootstraps with no bootstrap at all. And somehow we manage to do just that. And I think also from the perspective of a Black woman, because, hey, I just happen to be a Black woman, is that because of the experience of needing to take care of so much and so many people and having to be the backbone of our families and our communities, it has sharpened us. We have developed in the pressure cooker, as often we do, just kind of like beautiful butterflies who often, you know, through the struggle of getting out of their cocoon, will turn into beautiful butterflies, right? So because of the struggle in our communities and because we had no choice, it has cultivated a way of being for most Black people and Black families, not all, right? Because everybody don't grow up in the struggle, but it has created this way of being in the world where we can move through the world and we can see things in a way others can't. That is why also experience is important. Again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, and just discussing Kamala Harris agenda, opportunity agenda for Black male. And I'm just simply saying that she doesn't need one for us because we're showing up. We're donating, we're advocating, we're organizing people in our community, and we're very clear on who we're going to vote for. And I think it's sad that Black men aren't clear, generally speaking, and it's not all Black men, of course, because I've spoken to Black men who are donating, who are doing what they need to do, who are out here talking about the importance of voting for Kamala. But there is too many. I don't care if it's 5%, 10%, 15% of Black men who are talking sideways and silly. And mind you, there are also Black women who are saying, I'm not voting for her. She's a criminal. She's a prosecutor. She's locked up Black people. Trump has locked up more Black people than she has. And that hasn't even been his role. Okay. That ain't even his job. That's never been his job. The job of a prosecutor is to lock up folks. That just happened to be her job, okay? And did she do perfect in her job? No, no one does. But I'd be darned if I vote for a man who said, grab her by the butt, grab her by the cootie cat, a man who has been accused of sexual assault, rape, and harassment. I'd be darned if I vote for a man who has been found guilty on multiple federal charges. I mean, like, come on, y'all. I don't even know why we even still have to have this conversation, but I do know because of misogyny, because of patriarchy, because of the intersectionality of race and being a woman and gender and all the crappiness that comes along in this society that's predicated on oppression and predicated on us being divided. So we find all these reasons to be divided, and the system makes sure that we are divided. So anyway, getting back to Kamala Harris' opportunity agenda, as I digress, because I was triggered by just the very fact that she has to articulate what she's going to do. But some of the items she has on her list is providing 1 million loans that are fully forgivable for Black entrepreneurs and others to start a business and champion education, training, and mentorship programs that will help Black men get into good paying jobs in high demand industries and lead their communities, including pathways to becoming teachers. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Black males who are teachers, they have the best outcomes. And it doesn't matter. And you can look it up. This is facts and this is data. And it doesn't matter who they're teaching. They could be teaching white kids, Black kids, brown kids. They have the best outcome. And I think it's because, I don't know, it's something about a Black man that is, grounded, who's a teacher, who can articulate what needs to happen in the space. And I think because of patriarchy, when men speak, there's a different response. Like, I go to classrooms with Black male teachers. Their classes are all in order. And the teacher says, you need to do that. They listen, kind of like daddies and mommies, right? Mommy's got to say things 100 times, you know, like, go get in the bed. And then daddy speaks like, go get in the bed. And everybody runs. I don't know what it is about males, but it's a compounding impact on our students and their education and their experience in schools when the teachers are Black, and specifically Black males. So big ups to all of our Black male teachers out there and principals who are in education. I know it's extremely hard and an underpaid, underappreciated role. I know at our last gala, our Black Excellence Gala, Black Brilliance Gala that Urban Trash held in May, we honored a couple of Black male teachers who spent decades in our school district, and they had such an impact on multiple generations, including my generation, my daughter's generation, and then my youngest daughter, because, you know, my children range from 30 years old all the way to 8. Told y'all Black don't crack unless you on crack. So that's why I look so fine. And yes, I am a grandmother. And another agenda item on Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris opportunity agenda, is supporting a regulatory framework for cyber currency, which I think is awesome, and other digital assets. So Black men who invest in and own their own assets are protected. And in her agenda, this is a PDF. You can Google it. You can find it. She breaks down how that's going to work and why it's important. So, of course, there's other items, and I would love to continue to talk about the agenda items and opportunity agenda by Vice President Kamala Harris when we return. So stay tuned. And also, I want to talk about Supreme Court. Oh, my God, y'all. Our Supreme Court, I don't know what's happened in our world, but it's been sad, sad, sad. So stay tuned to hear more on 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. I look fly, I look too good.
I'm so deep in my bag like a grandma with a peppermint. They say, oh, she smell good.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Are there any voters left to persuade 17 days out from Election Day? ABC's Mary Alice Park says that at least one campaign believes yes.
The Harris campaign really thinks that there's more of those moderate Republicans who do not want to vote for Trump that she can still reach. I've talked to a lot of Democratic activists that worry that she's leaving Democratic base voters on the table, specifically around the war in Gaza.
Both Vice President Harris and former President Trump were in Michigan Friday. Harris has another event in Detroit today. She'll be in Atlanta later. Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The union representing more than 33,000 striking Boeing machinists says Boeing's made a new contract proposal it believes is worth considering. The acting Secretary of Labor's been in Seattle trying to help end the strike. Hezbollah launched three drones towards Israel, one of them targeting the home of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He and his wife were not home at the time. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It's the Packers and the Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Houston Texans, kickoff tomorrow at noon. I asked Packers quarterback Jordan Love about facing Houston's defensive line, led by Will Anderson and former Viking Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, no, they are definitely a very good defense. I think all around, you know, they got very good players everywhere. So I think it all starts up front. They got a really good D-line, some good edge rushers, and coverages, everything. I mean, the back end is very good. Their DBs are good. Linebackers are good. So I think they're a solid team all around.
Love, of course, waited 3 years to play behind Aaron Rodgers. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud was able to start his rookie year.
So, like, maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. You know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions. Is like, no matter what route you're in, or like, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit. Like, my dad used to always tell me the cream rises to the top.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunshine today, highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, clear 48, sunshine, highs near 80 degrees on your Sunday. For Monday, sunshine, 77. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high around 71. Slight chance of a shower Wednesday with a high of 58.
Right now, it's 58.
Coming soon to the Overture Center, Late Night Catechism.
Some rulers lead by example. Others lead with a ruler.
I am a Roman general. All right, all you village people.
Sit up in your seat, will you please?
Late Night Catechism.
Are you putting on lipstick in my class?
Attendance is mandatory.
I'm wearing 30 pounds of gabardine here, huh?
Come for the laughs.
Don't miss Late Night Catechism at the Overture Center.
Get your tickets today at tickets.overture.org.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Saturday night, October 26th, starting at 8:30. Live music with Honey Shot. Win $400 with the Lazy Oaf Costume Contest. Must be present to win. Plus $4 cherry bombs, $2.75 cans of Bud Light and Miller Lite, and $2 off Tito's Double Mixers. It's Halloween at the Lazy Oaf Lounge in Madison, North Stoughton Road. For details, follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right now. Hey. Okay. I don't even want to do an intro. All right now, y'all. tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX. I'm with your hostess with the mostest, your girl, Brandi Grayson, the black woman in Dane County that people love to freaking hate, okay? You love me so much, you can't help but to hate me, but that's cool. I see you. But back into what we were talking about prior to the break, another black woman that people love to hate, my VP, Kamala Harris, the next president, has released an opportunity agenda for black men and others in our community. We left off prior to the break talking about her framework for cyber currency and digital assets. And she's also launching a national health equity initiative focused on black men that address sickle cell disease, diabetes, mental health. Oh my God, we need all of that. Prostate cancer and other health challenges that disproportionately impact black men. This is amazing news. I know when Obama was in office, he also released a black male agenda. And I can't remember what it was, but I'm my brother's keeper. I think it has something to do with, and there was funds and money distributed across the country. I don't know if that what the impact of that initiative was. I know that Focus Interruption in Dane County got some resources for that initiative, but I don't remember whatever happened to it. But I also know that as it relates to black men, health is so underrated for you guys, especially with prostate cancer being such a big deal and killing you left to right, and especially mental health challenges in the black community. Surviving in the context of white supremacy racism has us all a little psycho, okay? A little narcissistic and a little self-absorbed. So big ups to Kamala Harris for releasing this opportunity agenda. On our break, our producer looked up the numbers for black males who are in support of Kamala Harris. The numbers are 78% of black males support her and plan on voting her, according to some poll.
New York Times Siena poll released earlier this week.
Okay, perfect. Earlier this week, New York Times poll said, hey, there's 78% of black male that support her and 22% that support Trump. And that's what I mean. Like, even if it's 5%, 10%, 22% is way too much. It should be a small margin, like 1%, 2% of the folks who can't read or can't articulate the importance of protecting themselves. But what I often say in my work in our community, dealing with trauma recovery, is that we don't know that some of us don't know that we've been betraying ourselves, right? That we actually move against ourselves in all that we do. And I find a lot in our, I find it in our community a lot. It's like Stockholm syndrome. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like a mental illness that has not been diagnosed. Dr. Joy DeGroy of the post-traumatic slave syndrome theory emphasizes that because we exist in the context of white supremacy and racism, and in this context, we're often seen as and see ourselves as less than, as criminals, not valuable, not worthy. We automatically see ourselves as inferior. And as a result of that inferiority complex that we all are swimming in all the time, sometimes some of us have a need and a deep yearning and a desire to have proximity to whiteness, and not just in politics, but in our lives. So we move closer to them, we marry them, we position ourselves against anything that's for black people. I have to say, there is an Alder person, his name is Isidore Knox, in the city council in Dane County, city of Madison, who always positions itself against black people and people of color. If there's any resolution, if there is a RFP, a proposal that says, hey, let's remove money from this white organization and give it to black and brown people, he's going to go on the side of the white organization. When there was a petition to defund the police and to fund our oversight board. So Madison a few years ago said, hey, we actually do need oversight of the police. And shout out to all the people who organized that, including Young Gifted and Black and folks of Urban Triage at the time. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. But in the city of Madison, there was a push to have police oversight. So they organized an oversight board. And I think there was some breakdowns in it because, You have to create structure when you're developing that. However, that oversight board has been part of our policy, our budget ever since. The mayor of Madison has requested that that budget be removed. So we've already had a police monitor hired. We have a board, folks who get stipends to ensure that when there's an investigation on the police, that it's not just for the police, that it actually goes to the oversight board made up of community members and folks in the fire committee. Commission and other folks who are experts in policing, I guess, in better ways to say that. But they are pushing to have that budget item removed. And I know there folks have reached out to me to be present. And I do want to acknowledge my inability to show up like I would like to show up to fight against that budget item being removed from the city of Madison budget. But I'm just at capacity. And that's the thing. When you're when there's not a lot of Black leadership that shows up for the Black community on hard times, topics or Black folks or folks pushing the envelope, then we expect someone like me in our organization to show up for everything. And we just don't. And we also don't fund us to increase the capacity so that we can. Right. So this like that thing about being a Black leader and having an organization is like, we need you and we want you and we appreciate you, but we ain't gonna fund you. And actually, we don't think that you should be valued at that rate because we don't really value the work to protect and advocate and provide resources and opportunities to Black people. And that's what I mean about this system. So I digressed a little bit because I started off talking about the Kamala Harris opportunity agenda and how we have this 78% of Black males who are for her and 22% who are not for her, which led me into the conversation about Black people in our own city council that show up against Black people and Black organizations and Black agenda items, which led me to talking about the Community Oversight Board and how that budget item is being removed. So I digress. So let me move back to what I was originally talking about, but everything I said still stands true. Okay,
I think it's all related.
It's all related.
It's
ain't
important
it?
Aspects to it, and yeah. And I think it's also important to highlight in these dynamics that there's a lot of people right now that are. I've heard several folks lay it out this way, where they're like, "Oh, well, only 78% of Black men are supporting Kamala Harris," kind of setting them up as the foil for if she loses the election, being like, "That's the reason why," rather than looking at like. The support that the people that do support Donald Trump, like it excuses almost away the folks that are supporting the other side of the ticket and putting the blame instead on a community that is not like it's just very confusing to me on how that gets set up, and I think it is a piece of the whole story that's being woven too.
Yeah, I agree. And I call it cognitive dissonance. It's kind of like I see myself. There's Black people, male and others, and folks who don't identify as male or other, or female, whatever, who literally says things like, "Well, I don't want to choose someone because of their race. You know, I want to make sure that I stay nonpartisan and I'm looking at the facts." And even when you look at the facts, you can't be looking at the facts. So even remove her color and remove her gender, there's no way that you can be looking at the facts when it comes to Trump, who showed up, for instance, at the Black Conservative Federation a few months ago and talking to his fellow conservatives that just happened to be Black. And he had the nerve to say to them very confidently in addressing them, "Would you rather have a Black president or a white president?" And then he responded and said, "I think you want this white guy." What? So even he knows there's some psycho. Like when I say psycho, like something mentally is wrong with us, because actually he knows that we rather have a white man lead us or a white person lead us than a Black person, because in this context of white supremacy, we've all been programmed through religion, through our education system, through people activities to believe that the great white hope and savior is always a white man from Jesus on, right? And people can say, "Well, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with this," but when you have your God reflect your master and oppressor, you have to stop for a second and ask yourself, what is that about? And it happens a lot in Africa too. We have people that I know who's African, and I come in their house and they're like, "White Jesus on their wall." I said, "Girl, what what the heck and what is going on? I don't even have words for it, but I would say it's a mental illness. Like, most of us are suffering from a mental illness. Like, we lack the ability to see value in ourselves. We lack the ability to see the importance of honoring ourselves. And that is a consequence of slavery. And that is what Dr. Joy DeGroy talks about in her post-traumatic slave syndrome book. It's like, people say, well, you know, it's not just about Black people. You have to center everybody, and brown people and Latino people and Asian people. No, you can't. That's not the power dynamics of white supremacy. White supremacy exists in relation to Black inferiority. No one thinks about whiteness and says, Asians need this. No, Asians have, generally speaking, not to put all our Asian folks in the same pot, my apologies for that, but generally speaking, there's this way of being in our society that gives Asian folks, no matter what your cultural background is, proximity to whiteness. And then immigrants coming into America often get the opportunity, and often are, through our censors. And I know they're going to remake our census or whatever, but they check the box white, which is crazy. So you get to always distinguish yourself from Blackness, right? And I think last Saturday we talked about the Haitians and Dominican Republic and how they were trying to deport thousands of Haitians, and they're on the same island. The difference is one group is lighter skinned than the other. Like, it's the same land, the same culture, the same background. The only difference is you were colonized by the Britons and the other side was colonized by, I don't know, you know, but either way, like, come on, like, is sick. So having 22% of Black males say that they're going to support Trump is a sickness, and Black women supporting him is a sickness. And I think it's sick for us not to understand the importance to show up, even if we don't believe in politics. Y'all know I don't believe in politics. I know it's a left wing, white ring. The bird is the same. We still exist in the program. It's all part of the program. But we have to remember that we're playing chess, not checkers. You have to remember that even if you don't want to play the game, you're forced to play the game because we exist in the context of capitalism. It's just what it is, right? Like, it's just what it is. And for me, I want to make sure I'm going to vote for example, Dana Pelevan, who's I'm messing up her last name. I'm sorry, friend. But anyway, make sure you vote for her for county exec. She's running, a Black woman who has 30 years of experience of executive management, who knows the community inside out. And I'm not just talking about the Black community. The girl is from, she know rural stuff. She's been all, you know, she does all, she's a diversity Black woman. That's what I'm gonna say. She's a walking board for diversity. So anyway, we should be voting for her versus voting for a legislator who never actually makes an opinion or creates innovative approaches to solve our community problems. She says yes or no to legislation based on who lobbies her the hardest, who donates the most, who supports her campaign. Legislation is all politics. When you're managing programs, when you're managing organizations, it's less politics in that, right? It's like, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of folks who show up at our local elections who are like, I just cannot choose that board, that box for Dana because she's Black or because she's a woman or because she's queer or because she's comfortable in her sexuality. I can't do it for these reasons because she's aggressive. Because, you know, we love to say Black women are aggressive because they can articulate their opinion and they refuse to be moved. And if that same Black woman just happened to be in white skin and male, we would be applauding them for their confidence and their ability to know what they want and need and how to move things forward. But that is also showing up on the national level. So anyway, as I try to breathe, because I obviously was triggered inside based on the conversation of patriarchy, racism, and misogyny, encouraging folks to get out and vote for Kamala Harris in our November, is it November 5th or 6th? November 5th.
November 5th. Tuesday, November 5th.
And our guy, Obama, is headed to Madison next week. Wait, this week or next week?
This upcoming Tuesday.
Oh, this upcoming Tuesday, because it's Wednesday. So that would be next week. And he's coming with our soon-to-be vice president, Walz. Is that how you say his name? Walz?
Walz.
I even messed up his name. But he's coming to Madison to kick off early voting and registration. So y'all stay tuned. I don't know where they're going to be at, but you know, Wisconsin is a big place for politics. So they will be coming in and out until elections. So stay tuned for their location and all that good stuff. And again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. I'll be back in a minute to talk about some other personal stuff because I haven't even had an opportunity to get personal. Maybe I won't. maybe I will. Who knows? But stay for the tea.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree. You know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, y'all. I am back on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, in the house for show. Okay, I'm a rapper. Bet y'all didn't even know I had skills, okay? So prior to the break, we were talking about the opportunity agenda that my girl, next president, Kamala Harris, has released for Black men. And her last point and what she looks forward to accomplishing as the president of the United States of America is legalizing recreational marijuana and creating opportunities for Black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Now, if y'all don't know, Urban Triage has launched our own hemp program, just helping people understand how to grow hemp, how to take it to processing, how to build a business plan around it. And this is our second cohort. So I'm hoping whatever she does with these opportunity agenda items, that she's given us some money to do it, and that is focusing on the Black people who are already at the table so that we can enroll other Black people at the table to get it done. Now, I haven't heard any other person running for president suggesting that weed should be legalized. And I hope another thing that comes out of that is that folks who are in prison for marijuana be released, because it seems to be incongruent that we have people in jail for marijuana and then being able to make millions and billions of dollars off of marijuana now, and it's okay. Like, those folks need to be released from jail, and that's what we need to be advocating throughout our country. So that's just my take. And I don't know if you guys know this about your boy Trump, but Trump spent 4 years making Black men's lives horrible. He watched millions of Black men lose jobs, thousands close their businesses, hundreds and thousands lost their health insurance. And as thousands of Black men lost their lives to COVID-19, your boy Donald Trump, of course, denied the severity of the crisis and made others, you know, millions of us unsafe. And crime in Black neighborhoods soared during Donald Trump's while he was in office, in his attempt to increase public safety. And I don't know if you guys know this, but data also shows when we put more money in police and we increase the patrol in poor and Black neighborhoods, the crime actually goes up. I don't know how that's relatable, but something about having police presence doesn't solve the issue. And I always say to people, if you want to solve the issue of folks not you know, crime or poverty, we have to first look at the root. And the root of it all is people are desperate. They're hopeless. They have no money. They have no resource. They have no opportunity. So you know how you solve that issue? By giving them opportunity, by giving them resources, by bringing the resources in the community and putting your money where your mouth is. Just like Dane County and the city of Madison want to remove the community oversight board. You can't say 3 years ago we needed this and we agree with this under the same mayor and then turn around and say, we don't really need it for real. That's crazy. So anyway, that's just my take on it. So you guys need to think about these budget conversations too, and especially locally. They always happen during the day. Isn't that weird that we have city council meetings during the day and that the folks that need to be there or would like to be there don't have the same privilege as others to be there? Because who can get off work and sit and listen till it's time for you to talk? And who is teaching us? Because school isn't, public education isn't teaching us how city councils work or how Dane County boards work and what they cover and why they're important and why it's important for you to vote for Dana Pelabon for Dane County executive. We don't even know what a Dane County executive does, but what I can tell you is that they manage everything in the county, from things like our sheriff's department, from Dane County Human Services contracts to Child Protective Services. They manage stuff with our roles, you know, like they do a lot, and we have a lot of finance committees and folks who make determinations on where money should go. And like currently we have at the city level, Newbridge, which is a nonprofit organization locally, have been receiving funds from City of Madison for over 8 years, approximately $800,000 to service our aging and elder populations. This is an all-white led organization serving mostly white people. And the City of Madison said, hey, we need to figure out what's working with our budget. So let's spend $100,000 and pay someone, a consulting, to come in and tell us where we need to reallocate funds and do better. Guess what the data shows? It shows what we always know, that we need to have more culturally specific programming and resources, and we need to support more culturally specific organizations to do the work. So that data came out. The city folks said, oh, thank you. We spent $100,000 for you to tell us what we already know that we always spend. And then they said, let's reframe our RFP. RFP is request for proposal. They reframed it, asked for cultural relevant programming. They got RFPs. They came in. The city said, great, let's fund 7 new organizations providing culturally specific programming. Newbridge, the white organization, organized. They organized their white folks. They organized their black white folks. They organized alders on the city council, including Isidore Knox, who never votes black. He says he's going to vote black, but he never does in conversation, which is odd, but that's very telltale for Madison demographics and how black male leadership works here. But anyway, I digress. So we have the situation now where the city council, I believe, is meeting October 28th or something like that. I'll make a post on my Facebook, but they're basically meeting to say yay or nay to allocating or reallocating funds to these other black and brown organizations like Urban Triage, Freedom Inc., African Center, who services African folks. I think there's like Latino, is it Central Hispanic? There's all kind of, you know, Bayview, folks who serve non-white folks and elder populations. And they are fighting hard not to allocate these funds. And a lot of our folks on city council is in agreement, but you can't spend $100,000 to tell you what to do and then don't do the thing that the data told you what to do. And that's the problem with Madison and Dane County. We always say we want better. We want diversity. We want inclusion, but we don't never implement it. We don't actually do the hard work to actually get it done. So anyway, your girl Brandi Grayson is a little triggered this week. It's been a lot of politics in our local government, whether it's our city budget, these RFPs, black people voting, not voting for black people, and the wellness of black people, and black males going against black women. I didn't even get a chance to get personal today, so I guess we'll save that for next week, because I've had a heck of a week. I actually lost one of my favorite employees, who is my executive assistant. She's been my executive assistant for 2.5 years. I mean, she held me down, kept me grounded, but she had some stuff that occurred in her life, so she had to take a break from work. And my life is, y'all, I'm so devastated. And I've had other losses this week, but I have to say heartbreak for loss of, I don't know what else to say, just heartbreak. But of course, I'm going to be good, because you always bounce back and you get better with time. But with all these politics happening at the same time, it just makes it compounded for me. I don't know how y'all feeling out here with all the elections and personal stuff. And, you know, it's fall, so there's a season change, and then changes happen in your life. So for my word of encouragement for all of us is stay grounded. Go inward. Know that you are enough, and whatever you're going through, you're going to be all right. So, but vote Black this voting season. And until next week, I am out. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. I'll see you next week.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's 17 days until Election Day, and today former President Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Michigan and Detroit and Georgia. She will not be alone, and ABC's Mary Alice Parks says that's part of the Democratic strategy.